The boycott is what brought down the racist state in the United States. It was Rosa Parks. We remember the fact that she wouldn't give up her seat on the bus. But it was the boycott of all the people, the black community in Montgomery. Over the course of a year, it cost a lot. It wasn't easy. But it was their determination that brought down the racist state. That's the power of the boycott. And the Canadian boycott, in March, air traffic to the United States in the busiest month of the year dropped 70%. 70%. We need to get it to 95, but you know, we have to get some help, because Donald Trump then started pulling people out of the airport lines, kidnapping them, illegal deportations, putting people in chains in the ICE detention centers. Do you think anyone from anywhere in the world is gonna travel to the United States? That's a $50 million business down the drain right there. Wow, that's really smart. The amount of people from all over the world who contact me every day, who say we're watching Canada, and we are part of the boycott as well. That's the power of the boycott. So I need you to keep the boycott strong. Elbows up. Elbows up. Elbows up, right there on the bridge of the nose. Because the economic pressure from the boycott is already starting to break the Maple or the MAGA crew apart. On April 2nd, the so-called Liberation Day, and we're gonna talk about that in a second, Liberation Day. That day, four key Republican MAGA loyalists broke with Donald Trump to vote against the illegal tariffs against Canada. Right on. And you know why they voted? They were from Kentucky. Oh, it was all great to be tough MAGA Kentucky when you decided to pick on Canada, and then they went, wait, isn't Canada our number one export for Tennessee whiskey? Guess what? Who needs Tennessee whiskey? I've gotten some great whiskey from the Okanagan Valley. Man, oh man, it's good. Not that I drink very much of it. So Kentucky is now calling Donald Trump saying, wait a minute, what did you do? And then Alaska. Where's Alaska? Don't you have to go through British Columbia? Well, their MAGA people were suddenly, well, that wasn't very bright, was it? So then they voted. And then poor little Maine, which is like a sister province to New Brunswick and Nova Scotia. And they said, I don't think this is a good idea, Donald. So the boycott stays strong, and the boycott goes global. As we, ordinary, small, every individual person pulls out and says, you will not intimidate us. We will frighten you. That's what we're going to do. So what, it's been 1 week. Now Donald Trump has had to like backtrack. What? He threw tariffs on Madagascar. Maybe one of the poorest countries on the planet. Because the only thing they have to sell is chocolate. And Americans like chocolate. And Donald Trump said, well, Madagascar doesn't buy anything for us, so there's a trade imbalance. That's the moronic nature of it. But I don't, the penguins. Well, the penguins, fair play, okay? There's a case to be made about the penguins. But you know, it's not that Donald Trump is doing this, it's that he's being enabled to do this. That's the issue. You know, and so I was listening to the radio and about the illegal kidnappings of people, the illegal deportations, the horrific videos of that woman from Homeland Security standing in front of these horrific prisons in El Salvador saying she hopes these people are jailed for life when they don't even know if these people have committed any crimes. They're just nabbed off the streets. That's the breaking of the rule of law. That is fascism. That is exactly what fascism looks like. Because it's about the cruelty. cruelty is the point. Because once people get excited or horrified, but then feel they can't do anything, the cruelty amps up. That's what happened in Nazi Germany. And we're not there yet, but we have to say that fascism is a playbook. And it goes along, and it's being enabled. So I was listening to this Democrat the other day on the radio. Actually, as I was going to the airport, so it was on the international thing. I was at 1 o'clock in the morning, Ontario time, and it was 3 feet of snow. But I was coming out because Lisa Marie told me I was coming out, whatever. So there I was, like half asleep, driving through the dark in the forest of Northern Ontario. And I heard this Democrat on the radio. And he was talking about the midterms and the pendulum swing. And that this would all go back to normal. Yeah, whatever. If you don't want to do the tough fighting, Mr. Democrat, step aside. Canada will do it for you. And we're going to do it for you. So let's talk this Liberation Day. What a desecration of a powerful word. Only a criminal predator like Trump could take such a powerful word and desecrate it like that. Liberation Day was the day that he liberated the American people from their savings. Where he liberated the American idea from democracy. You know, that's not liberation. That's selling people out. I was in France on Liberation Day. That's June 6th. That's D-Day. That's when we landed on Juno Beach. That's what the French see as liberation. Donald Trump wouldn't know what the hell that was. And the issue when I was at D-Day at Juno Beach, it changed my whole understanding of Canada, of being a political leader, and our responsibility. Because when you go through Béni-sur-Mer and you see the graves, you understand for the first time what a colossal suffering that we endured as a people, with our young people, to free other people from tyranny. And we didn't stop until the job was done. That's what we do in Canada. And when you see the graveyards, it's a powerful thing, because our young men are buried almost by the towns and the regions they come from, because that's how they were sent into the meat grinder. So you see June 6th, June 6th, June 6th, Winnipeg, 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 Regina, 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 Montreal, Montreal, Montreal. And then you see as each regiment and each part of the country was fed into Normandy and Belgium and Holland, you see the people from your own region. And I remember when I started to see all the young men from Northern Ontario laid out together, because they died on the same days fighting to liberate other people from tyranny. And that predator dares desecrate that word? Not a chance. Not a chance. We will take that back. Because if there was ever a rotten job to do in the war, they always gave it to Canadians, because Canadians get the job done. And we've got a job to do, right? We are the front line. It is us and it's Ukraine, and we are in the front line to defend our democracy. Elbows up on this, my friends, elbows up. So, where do we go from here? I need you to do a few things. I need you to keep the boycott strong. We have to hold the line. Done. Good. Because this is a long fight. They thought we were an easy mark.
No way.
Oh yeah, I know. They thought we were an easy mark. And if we were, they would have come over the border. They forgot 1812, they forgot Vimy, they forgot Juno Beach. It's the Juno Beach gene in us. We have to stay strong, because we are in a time when democracy and the rule of law is under threat. And as I said, nobody's coming to save us. I learned that I went to the NATO meetings in Brussels because I wanted to see for myself. I was sure. I wanted to be reassured. I wanted to be told at the big NATO meetings that Germany would say, whoa, Canada's a NATO ally. Crickets. I thought France would say something. Crickets. The United Kingdom. God, we were there on September 4th, 1939. My uncle left Cape Breton. My wife's father was 17. He jumped on a train and went to the port and got on a ship. And the UK? Crickets. But not the people. The people in France, the people in Germany, the people in the UK recognize what we're doing, but not the leaders. So when I was in NATO, I didn't hear anything from them, and I thought, yeah, okay, we're on our own. But that's okay, because we'll defend our country. And we're at NATO, and they have this, you know, little soiree afterwards where they get your wine, and everyone does small talk. And these Republican congressmen came up to me because they thought I wasn't being funny with them. No, there's nothing to laugh about, guys. You say we don't have a right to exist. They were like, oh, come on, come on, come on, Canada. And they came up to me and they saw my Canadian pin. And one of them went to touch it. And I said, don't you ever touch the Canadian flag. And he stepped back. He said, whoa, I was just joking. I said, you will die before you touch the Canadian flag. And I'm not joking. And boy, oh boy, I've never seen so many Americans leave the room and leave the hall that quickly. And I didn't, it just came out. Because this is not funny. This is not funny. And it's not funny, the attack on the rule of law. It's not funny. And it's not funny to threaten nations. It's not funny because we see what's happening in Ukraine. So we're the front line, my friend. So I need you. The boycott's got to stay super strong, right? This is what we have to do. Nothing. We cannot let them divide us from each other. Right? We are a nation. We are a strong nation. Some of our leaders have been less than helpful. I'm going to Edmonton tomorrow. Well, I was hoping to meet Danielle Smith, but apparently she's off at some right-wing private meeting with one of the American Trumpites who wrote the tariffs that attacked Canada, so she's going to come and hang out with them. She hung out with Ben Shapiro, it was a week ago, where he said that Canada could be like Puerto Rico. Yeah. But the reason I'm going to Edmonton is that you're not going to find stronger, prouder, tougher Canadians anywhere on the planet than in the province of Alberta. I know that. I know Albertan people. I can't wait to get to Alberta because we have to show the world that Alberta is not backing Danielle Smith. She's a traitor. She's a prisoner. She's Team Vinci. We are Team Vinny. That's why I'm going to Edmonton. I will be going to Calgary. We will be in Saskatchewan. We need to show that we are so strong together. Quebec. My God, the support I'm seeing in Quebec right now. We are a nation together. So don't let them divide us from each other. Stick together, because you know what? They may be a lot more than them of us. But I will take a united Canada any day. Hell yeah. Over a nation that is tearing itself apart. And I speak to Americans daily. I have my Charlie Angus Resistance Substack. I hope you're on it. The amount of Americans who read it every day. And now we see the resistance is starting in the United States. April 19th is the next day. They did April 5th. They had millions marching. So show solidarity. Hold a march here. Show solidarity. Show that the Americans who are fighting to take their democracy back are not alone, because it is frightening down there. People tell me how frightening it is. They need to know. And they say, can we use the term elbows up? I said, yes, you can, because Gordie Howe, he represented Detroit Red Wings. So yes, Americans can use elbows up as long as they're not MAGA. But if they're MAGA, we can always let our elbows down. Just like that, right? So we need, sorry, what was that?
Are you heckling me?
So this is the other element we have to do, right? We have to build this solidarity, and it has to be a global solidarity. Canada is the front line, and people are looking to us right now. Sometimes I know we seem small and we seem weak, but we were 11 million people when we took on Hitler. I found footage the other day of my great uncle Gordon. It was on YouTube. The morning after the Germans invaded Poland, my uncle Gordon put on his World War I uniform and he went and knocked on the doors of all the people in the village of Cape Breton where my mom's from. And the footage shows the men packing their bags and going down to the schooner and going off to war. Canada hadn't even declared war. But my uncle said it's time to fight tyranny. We were 11 million people. We built the fourth largest navy in the world to fight the Nazis. We had the fourth largest air force in the world to fight the Nazis. We were 11 million people. And we had lost young people in every theater, fighting from Burma and Hong Kong all the way up to freeing the people of Netherlands when we were 11 million people. Because when we start a job for democracy, we don't stop until that job is done. Because we come from a long line of fascist fighters, right? So when Donald Trump goes on about Antifa, and I didn't know what Antifa was the first time I was accused of being one. Right there. I asked my daughter. I texted her. I said, what's an Antifa? She said, anti-fascist. I said, well, that's a good thing, right? Yeah. Hell, my uncles fought Nazi ass, kicked Nazi ass all over Europe. Of course I'm Antifa. So when Donald Trump says he doesn't like Antifa, yeah, damn right, you're looking right at Canada. That's who we are, right? And then what's his other thing? It's about being woke.
Yeah. I'm woke.
I woke.
There
you go, right? I woke up. We were sleepwalking towards a disaster. Donald Trump woke us up. So we are woke. Thank you, Donald. We are no longer sleepwalking. But the thing that he hates the most, he says we are the nastiest country, right? Not Benny Netanyahu's up on war crimes. Nope, not him. Not Vladimir Putin, who kidnaps children in Ukraine and is up on war crimes. He's not nasty. North Korea. Donald thinks that he's going to get some, you know, hotels built in North Korea. They're not nasty, but Canadians are the nasties. Yeah. Hell yeah. You haven't seen nasty yet, Donald. You have not seen nasty yet. Because, yeah, they want our water, and they want our critical minerals. But what they want the most is to stop us from being a role model to the world. It's not going to happen. We are a nation that has done some really bad things. And that's why we don't elect people who deny the crimes of the residential schools. They can go back to their cage. We don't elect people like that. Because when we wave the Canadian flag now, this is our flag, and we're taking it back from convoy, we're taking it back from conspiracy, we're taking it back from the people who kept our flag upside down. This is our flag. And the reason we can wave our flag and it's not jingoistic is because we can understand the wrong that we have done as a nation. Because the fundamental relationship in this country was settler and indigenous. And 150 years from now, that'll still be the primary relationship. And it's up to our generation to make that the relationship it should be. And no convicted criminal from Mar-a-Lago is going to interrupt that process and that journey and decide that he's going to take us over. They hate us because we have something that frightens them more than anything.
Integrity.
Integrity, yeah. That's definitely... But they go on about it. DEI. I thought it was DUI, but they're all supporting that if they're Republicans, right? But DEI. Diversity, equity, inclusion, right? It's so bad for these poor, you know, you gotta just give a minute and feel bad for those poor incels, right? Poor white men incels that had to take Jackie Robinson's picture down from their Pentagon site. We should take Jackie Robinson back because he played for Montreal first, okay? We bring him back. We'll take him. They took down Ira Hayes' photo. One of the greatest war heroes. The man who raised the American flag at Iwo Jima because he was indigenous. They don't want his face on the Pentagon. And what did they do for Ira Hayes? Nothing. He came back and they left him to die. But they don't even want his face because it's DEI. Well, what is our values in Canada? We are a nation of diversity. We're a nation of equity. We're a nation of inclusion. Hell yeah, that's what we are on our side of the border, and we're going to fight to protect that every single day. You will not take that from us. You will not take that from us. And you know what? As tough as they are, they're now starting to, like, did you see Pete Navarro? Who I've never agreed with Elon Musk. A Nazi, fascist. But Elon Musk did point out that Pete Navarro was as dumb as a moron as you could get, right? But boy, I love when these creeps turn on each other. You know, give me my popcorn, right? I'm off. But Pete Navarro came up the other day and he said, gee, Canada, just tone down the rhetoric. Your hockey stuff is freaking us out. We haven't even gone over the boards yet, Pete. And we haven't even sent out the women's team. They're going to be really sore when that happens. They're going to be down on the ice, Pete. How are you done? So no, we are not giving up. So we have a job to do. I am not going to sugarcoat this. There is no easy solution. There is no easy way out. We now have a hostile threat on the largest unguarded border in the world.
Endorsement removal edit.
Right now across this country is something I've never sensed before. Is this determination of what it must have been like back when so many young people went to stop tyranny. And I met those soldiers, the survivors at Juno Beach. I was with some incredible people in their late 90s. And they told me they would do it all again. To see people live in freedom. That's our job, is not to say at the end of this, oh, he went away. Canada is not the country that it should be. But this is our moment to remake the country, to be the country it should be, right? We are gonna be in for some hard times. We are facing some frightening moments. People are going to get hurt by this monster. But people got hurt before in the fight against tyranny. And that sacrifice is essential. But at the end of it, we have to come out better and stronger. And I know people who, my region, who came back from the war and they said, we weren't going to put up with crappy wages anymore. We're going to fight so that our kids can go to college. And they fought to get health care. And they fought for the eight-hour day and the weekend and all the things that the oligarchs have been trying to take from us ever since. That was fought for by that generation who came home because they understood the cost of freedom. Now we are relearning that lesson. I didn't know we had to relearn that lesson, but we have to relearn that lesson. And we are relearning that lesson, and we're going to teach that lesson to the world. That's why we're here, right? So I just want to say that at the end of the day, no matter how hard it is, no matter how long it is, that we will make this journey together as a nation, because that's what Canadians do, because we don't stop when the troubled times come. That's what our history is. That's what our record is. And we are going to do this together, and together nobody on the planet can beat a unified Canada. So we have to stay strong. We have to stay true, north, strong, and free, right? Elbows up. Thank you so much. We are going to take this, we are going to keep marching, and we will never, ever, ever bend down and kiss that gangster's ring. It's not going to happen. We're not going to let it happen. They are going to be so sorry they messed with us, but the rest of the world will see that when Canada stands for something, the Maple Leaf stands for something, we stand for a world that believes in the rule of law and the world that believes in democracy. Elbows up, elbows up, elbows up, elbows up. Thank you. Elbows
and that was Charlie Angus appearing in Nanaimo, as recorded by Jesse Woodward and edited slightly by me. They closed with O Canada, led by Angus, which I'll leave you with now. Special thank you to Jesse Woodward, the executive director of CHLY 101.7 FM, for sharing that recording with us, to Fred Fox for sharing his recollections of his brother Terry Fox, and to you for listening. Sovereign Canada is written and produced and created by me, Mike McCullough. Until next time...
With her project, You Are Here, U.S. Poet Laureate Ada Limone seeks to connect people and nature through poetry. A major part of the project is a series of poetry installations in 7 national parks. Each one is a picnic table with a poem on its surface, selected by Ada, that's connected with the park or ecosystem, as well as a prompt to visitors asking, "What would you write in response to the landscape around you?" At a 2024 dedication ceremony in Saguaro National Park, Ada talked about her hopes for the installations.
I want this to be a prompt for all of us to remember that our relationship with the natural world is a reciprocal one. We are meant to receive, but we are also meant to steward. Remember that you can also speak back and be in relationship to this place in particular.
For Saguaro National Park, Ada chose Cloud Song by the Ona Otham poet Ophelia Zepeda. Ada closed the event with a reading of the poem.
Cloud Song. Greenly, they emerge. In colors of blue, they emerge. Whitely, they emerge. In colors of black, they are coming. Reddening, they are right here.
You can hear more poetry about nature, our feathered friends, and our public lands at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mark Bramhill. Happy National Poetry Month.
Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at embarksustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at embarksustain.
Diverse, independent, yours. You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.